Oh, a day that I know so many of you love. The 4th be with you. May the 4th be with you, I should say. Yep. May the 4th. Star Wars Day. Hard to believe that 46 years ago, this movie, George Lucas, was on top of the motion picture world. It's just the way it is. And great way to start the show today. Terrific. I mean, you know, they have the jersey auction tonight, don't they? Isn't that tonight?
Oh, really? At Southwest University Park?
Oh, yeah.
Great day. Great day to have it.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't. That's awesome, man.
Star Wars jersey. It's like the Baby Yoda jersey.
Oh, that's sweet. I love it. Okay. That's good stuff.
Yeah. It's you know, it's a collector's item for a lot of people. It really is. I bet you the players. You know what? I bet you this is one jersey that the players really enjoy wearing.
I think so, too, especially, you know, there's so many people who are Star Wars fanatics out there. Chihuahuas have done such great jersey renditions of the El Paso Chihuahuas. I'm looking at their social right now, and yeah, it's all May the 4th be with you.
Yep, I'm with you. I think that's exactly right. Well, I'll say this also, you know, they've got the straw hats that are going to be given out tomorrow for the first 1,500 fans. Do you know the players were actually wearing those warming up? Last week, players got to basically go on the field with the swinging dog tank top and the strawberry margarita straw hat, and they were all doing warm-ups in the gear.
Wow, are you kidding me? That's awesome stuff. The straw hat itself looks perfect for, like, ballpark days. Like, you could wear that every time you go to watch the El Paso Chihuahuas because how much that actually shades you.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I could see you using it, at, you know, athletically, because it's got the straps also. You can fix it tight on your head.
Mm-hmm. You really can. It's pretty nice. So, yes, Star Wars Day today, and that is going to be exciting. You know, we'll see how the jerseys go this time around. And, I mean, you know, there are people that dress up in the full costumes. We're talking, you know, stormtroopers. We're talking Baby Yoda. We're talking Darth Vader. We're talking everybody. You know, they're all for this movie. It's like, you know, this idea of cosplay is, I mean, hey man, to each their own, right? But it's crazy how people get into this stuff. It really is.
Yeah, I'm for it. I think that's pretty cool if that's what you're about. You know, they probably look at us and they think, you're really going to wear a uniform and a jersey of somebody else, a player like that? Like, that seems weird to them. And then you're like, we're saying, hey, that's a little different to us as far as the cosplay. But I'm for it. You know, if that makes you excited, if that makes you celebrate the May the 4th day, then go ahead. May you go out and cosplay out with the Star Wars uniforms.
I mean, is there anything that you would like go into full gear for like any kind of, you know, whatever it is, whether it's a show, a game or anything like that? Would you ever go full dress up and get excited?
Probably not, I'll be honest. That's just me. But I have a lot of friends and people out there who I know who love to do this kind of stuff.
Okay.
So I'm encouraging. It's kind of like the Halloween thing, right? It's like, you know, when you dress up for Halloween, there's people who go all out and there's people who don't.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. By the way, tonight's Nurses Night, along with Thrifty Thursday. And apparently, if you use the promo code Nurses Night, all in caps, if you're a nurse. Like, don't, like, I mean, if you're, you know, just some random person, don't use that. But if you're an actual nurse and you use the promo code Nurses Night, you get special pricing for tonight.
Okay, that's good stuff. So you could save on the concessions, Thrifty Thursday, and save if you're a nurse.
$2 12-ounce domestic drafts, 12-ounce wine-based margaritas, $2 hot dogs, 16-ounce fountain drinks until 8 o'clock. And we've got 2 4-packs of tickets to give away.
Oh, even better. See, that's good stuff.
That'd be good. I like that. Gosh, it's tough. I mean, I got to figure out what we should do for trivia because I want to give these away pretty quick. What about you? What do you think?
We should throw back that same answer. Yes, we didn't give the answer yesterday. We got the right answer, but we should throw that same one yesterday. That was a good one.
So what you're saying is throw out the same question as we did yesterday.
I really like that one.
And
I mean,
since we did get a winner, but we never gave it out on the air, if somebody calls in with it, they win the tickets.
Or should we do Star
like
Wars trivia?
Let's do what? Let's re-rack the first one.
Okay, good.
Which was part of MD305. I had the wings today, by the way. Delicious. Absolutely
very
delicious.
Good. Very, very good.
All right, so here was the question we threw out yesterday at the end of the show. Okay. Simple question, too. In UTEP history, only two individuals are members of the 1,000-point club and did it during 2 years, meaning they only played two seasons. But in those two seasons, they combined to score 1,000 points. Name them both. One more time. Only two former Miners in the history of the program are in the 1,000-point club, but accomplished this in just 2 years. They're only 2 years with the program, two seasons. Name the two players. First caller in with the correct answer at 505-6009. Four tickets for you to tonight's ballgame. You'll be sitting in Section 109, Row D, seats 5 through 8. Those are your seats. I'll be emailing them to you within 5 minutes of you answering the trivia question. All right? Simple as that. You don't have to come to the station. We'll send them to you. So if you've got an account with the Chihuahuas, we'll load them right up. If not, you'll open a new account tonight and start that up. You'll have your tickets. And we'll even throw in a parking pass for tonight.
Wow, feeling generous, Steve.
So you get four tickets, and you'll park inside the convention center on us. Second four-pack will be Star Wars trivia. And by the way, I'm not worried about making this Google-proof. I'm going to ask a question that I would not know, which means, and I'm, you know, I like to classify myself as, I like the show, I like the movies, but I don't know, like, the trivia. I don't know people, planets, any of that stuff. I'm not, I'm not as fanatical as others when it comes to Star Wars.
Steve, what is your least favorite movie for Star Wars? I feel like every time we talk about May the 4th, we always talk about our favorites out of the Star Wars time. What was your least favorite movie in the Star Wars trilogy? Even the new ones. You can include the new ones.
Well, first off, I liked all three. I liked the first three. I really did. I liked Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi because I was I was still relatively young when they all came out. So
nice. Okay. What about, the newer ones? If you had to go bat, the worst one, okay? So I'm talking about the 2000s ones and then the newer ones that just came out recently.
I guess it would probably be the middle, maybe it was, the fifth movie that came out.
Okay.
What was that?
Are we talking about Attack of the Clones or are we talking about,
one? Whatever the, okay, so you had, because didn't it go 1 through 4 was really kind of like the last.
That was 4 through 6, right? So that was 4. The New Hope was 4. Empire Strikes Back was 5. Return of the Jedi was 6.
Okay, so it would have been the ones after that.
Okay, all right. The next one after that is, I think the first one is, so it's the
would
prequel
it have been
trilogy, The Phantom Menace. That's the Darth Maul one.
The Phantom Menace.
That's the Jar Jar Binks, Darth Maul one, Qui-Gon Jinn. That kind of thing.
When was that?
That was 1999 or 2000.
Oh, that was that was the first one?
That's the first one. Uh-huh. And then 2 is Attack
of
the Clones.
Yeah.
And then Revenge of the Sith.
Okay. I would probably say, I mean, I don't know. I would say maybe it was, you said it was what, Attack of the Clones?
That's right, yeah.
Maybe it was Attack of the Clones. Attack of the Clones or Phantom Menace. I mean, I was never really I never got excited about that. I like the original characters. I had a hard time finding new characters to start understanding.
I'm the same way. I grew up during the prequel, so I was okay with those as a kid. And then as soon as they did the new ones, like The Force Awakens, I was cool with. I like that one. I love The Mandalorian. Those are good ones as well, and Solo. But I was just really not a fan of The Last Jedi. That was probably the one that I really did not like.
Oh, okay. So that was the most recent of the nine movies.
I think the last one of that one was The Rise of Skywalker. That's the one where the Mark Hamill comes back and all that kind of stuff.
But wasn't Hamill back in the last two? Didn't
Correct.
He show up at the end of
yes.
like the second one, and he was really in there for the third one?
That's exactly right. And so the third one, that's the one where he's kind of all in. You know?
And that's the one you didn't care for?
No, the middle one, The Last Jedi, the one where he shows up at the end. I did not like that one.
Yeah, I saw that, and I don't know. I mean, it was fine. Again, you know, it's... It's so difficult when you watch these movies. Remember, there's nine of them, even more than Rocky. In Rocky, there's a zillion of them. Well, here's the thing. There's, what is there? There's six Rockies, and there's now two or three Creeds. Two?
Three, right? We just had three Creed 3, right?
Is it,
yeah.
Is it Creed 3 or Creed 2?
Creed 3 is this year, yeah.
So if you think about it, what's that? That's nine Rockies, because Creed
Correct.
Is a spinoff of Rocky. Just like those other movies were kind of spin-offs of the original Star Wars, right?
Right. So if you're going to go the film trilogies, there's nine of those right there. And then they've got some of those alternate ones like Solo, where it's just about Han Solo.
Oh, my God. All right. Well,
yeah, we're really going down a rabbit hole here.
And this is sports talk, right? I mean, right. And by the way, we haven't had one guess yet on the trivia. Not one. Not one.
I'm surprised. It was a tough one. We had some great guesses yesterday, and we did get one right answer yesterday.
Let me repeat the question in case people are wondering, okay? I think there's like, is there 20 people in the 1,000-point club at UTEP right now?
I would say around that, yes. That's a good a good guess right there.
Of the 20, most have played 3 and 4 seasons, and they've scored over 1,000 points in their career. Two of these guys only played 2 seasons, but when you total up their total points in those 2 seasons, they scored over 1,000 points. Name them, both of them. I'll give you one clue. One is a semi-contemporary. The other one played a long time ago. There you go. Simple as that. 505-6009. If you win, you get 4 tickets to tonight's Chihuahuas game. And that's a great prize. Great, great prize. It's going to be a fun show today. First hour, we have a lot of UFC content. Since UFC 288 is this weekend, we're going to be talking to a pair of fighters that are going to be in the co-main event Saturday, and then the actual main event, we'll talk to them tomorrow on the show.
This is awesome, Steve. 288. UFC 288 is coming this Saturday in the U.S. again. Newark will have it. ESPN Plus has the coverage. We're going to get a chance to talk to Bilal Muhammad. He's taking on Gilbert Burns. We just talked to Burns just 2 weeks ago, and he's already back in the octagon. He's fighting in consecutive pay-per-view matchups, and this fight right here could determine as to who ends up fighting Leon Edwards for the welterweight belt.
That doesn't happen very often, does it?
No, doesn't at all. I feel bad for Burns. It feels like he's put together such a good resume in order to put himself in a perfect position to earn the title fight, but he still has to continue to prove himself.
Yeah, I know it. Well, anyway, that's going to be our conversations on the program today. We're excited about that. 5 o'clock hour, our weekly chat with Lane Frank. So we're looking forward to having Lane back with us as well as we continue live from the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios. Let's go to Charlie One and get our first traffic update. And hopefully we'll get a winner on trivia. Send somebody to the ball game tonight here in about 2 hours with the Chihuahuas on Nurses Night playing the Oklahoma City Dodgers. Get the live coverage of UFC 288 Sterling versus Cejudo from Prudential Center in Newark on May 6th on ESPN Plus, including the main card and the prelims. We are excited about this next guest joining us because he has absolutely been on a roll and has a big one coming up as well this Saturday. Bilal Muhammad with us right now. Welcome to the program, Bilal. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing well, and let's start off with just how your career has been on an absolute roll. Not just the 4-fight on, win streak and being unbeaten in your last 9, but how you've really just come into your own, and at this point, just play really your best performances of your career. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%. I think my mindset is different than a lot of these guys. I go after every fight, whether off of a win. I don't sit there and dwell on it and celebrate it for too long. It's what did I do wrong in there? And I try to get better every single fight and improve every single fight.
Bilal, this one is so interesting because it came together in less than a couple weeks. What's the preparation like when you get ready to fight Burns this weekend?
When you're doing something like that in a couple weeks, I don't really do a lot of focusing on him. It's like I said, every time I fight, I want to bring a new version of myself and a better version of myself. And when I don't sit there and have to worry about my opponent and, man, I didn't have enough time to think or watch tape on him, it stresses you out. So my style is never to watch or care about them. It's always caring about myself and getting better. And I think the version of myself now is the best version you guys are ever going to see.
It's so interesting you mentioned that. So let's kind of piggyback off of that answer, Bilal. Do you feel like you will have to reinvent your style every fight so that way your opponents don't know for sure how to game plan for you?
It's not reinventing. It's just fixing your weaknesses. There's always something you did wrong in your last fight or something that you could have did better. And it's martial arts. It's an art form, and it's always evolving. So that's why a lot of these guys end up falling off, because they always stick to what got them there, this, this, and this. But for me, I'm always trying to see what's working now. There's a new age every single day, every single week. There's a new fight, and you find out something different and see something new.
Bilal Muhammad with us here on Sports Talk as we continue getting ready for the big one on Saturday. Take me back to you getting started in UFC, okay, in the beginning, and where you're at right now. And if you watched yourself from the first few fights to this point, what is the biggest difference as you've started to really develop into a world championship contender?
Yeah, I'm a whole different version of myself than when I first got in there. When I first got into the UFC, I didn't have the right training. I wasn't working the way I'm working now. I think now I'm working a lot smarter, and I see different strategies of how to fight, and I just have a different viewpoint. I have a different comfortability in the cage. Now it just feels like home, and it just feels like every day I go to work, it's just like recess for me. It's just having fun.
You have your opponent in Gilbert Burns, who is coming off a 287 UFC pay-per-view matchup against Jorge Masvidal. What did you learn from that fight watching your opponent, if you get a chance to do so? And if you didn't, what did you hear from that fight that you could take into this one to give yourself a little bit more of an advantage?
Yeah, I was in the stands for that fight. I was watching it live. So I got to see some things that I liked. And I see, I'm always watching fights not as a fan. I'm watching it as an analyst. I'm trying to analyze my opponents and how I fight them. Certain ways I would do it, and I definitely saw some openings where I thought Masvidal could have did something, but I don't know. Masvidal just didn't have the same hunger as I do. Now Gilbert Burns is fighting somebody as hungry as he is.
Meanwhile, you're from Chicago. You signed with UFC back in 2016. So, I'm wondering, are you a late bloomer? Because here you are, you're 33 years old, you're in the best shape of your career, the best fighting of your career. Is this a sport where you think that if you get into it a little older, you might have an opportunity to mature at that age versus doing it, let's say, right out of high school or right out of college?
No, I think I started martial arts super late. I started with martial arts when I was younger. I just think that martial arts is that sport where your mind and how strong your mind is and how much you want it and or this or that. Like, if you're putting in the right work, then the results will show.
Meanwhile, UFC is about as big now as it's been in years, and it seems like it's a perfect time for you because pay-per-views are very accessible for people. The ESPN Plus platform has been terrific. Exposure is worldwide like it always has been, but seems like this is the time where UFC at this point is probably on top of the sports combat world.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely the number one sports combat organization in the world. And, I think it's starting to get up there with NFL, NBA, and it's only going to get bigger. It's only going to keep growing. So for me to be on a pay-per-view like this, this weekend is going to be huge.
For the main event, when you talk about Cejudo and, of course, Sterling, who do you have in this one? Who do you give the advantage to, Bilal?
Man, I keep going back and forth with that one. That one's really close. Both guys are very good, very well-rounded. Cejudo had a lot of time off, but, you know, his mind is different than a lot of these guys. He fights with a different type of strategy, and he brings that different form to the fight game. And to be, a world champion wrestler and two-time world champions in the UFC, you're built different. And I think that it's going to be a very competitive fight. And it just comes down to, like, game of inches, I think. And honestly, I keep going back and forth with who I think is going to win, but I think it'll be a great fight for sure.
As far as the welterweight division, it seems like it is absolutely stacked right now, top to bottom, yourself included.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's one of the best divisions in the UFC right now. And, you know, for me to win this fight will cement my spot at the top.
Final question. I don't know if you're into making predictions, but if you are and people are listening right now, what will you say will happen when you step into the octagon on Saturday against Gilbert Burns?
I'm stepping out with my hand raised.
You know what? That was the shortest, most easy prediction I've heard from anybody in quite a while. Bilal, thanks so much for the time. Congratulations so far on what's been a terrific run for you, and we look forward to seeing you make it and continuing here on Saturday.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you guys.
You as well. Bilal Muhammad, folks, as we continue here on Sports Talk. Adrian, this is a good story. Here's a guy that once again has really rocketed up the ladder in UFC, and a good test against Gilbert Burns, somebody that we know a lot about from the last time we spoke to him.
Yeah, and he didn't mention it, but Steve, he's got their eyes set. Both Bilal Muhammad and Gilbert Burns have their eyes set to be the next title challenger in the welterweight division. We talked about how competitive it is. Leon Edwards, the current champ, that's who everybody wants to fight right now.
We're going to talk more about that, and Gilbert Burns will be joining us on the show momentarily as well. But first, let's get right back to Adrian. He's standing by with this bottom of the hour SportsCenter update. All right, Adrian, thank you very much. As we continue here on Sports Talk, get the live coverage of UFC 288, Sterling versus Cejudo from Prudential Center in Newark on May the 6th. That's this Saturday on ESPN Plus, including the main card and the prelims. In fact, this main card event is going to be a monster. Excited about having this man back with us on Sports Talk. It was just a few weeks ago he was joining us, and here he is again. Gilbert Burns getting ready for that showdown with Bilal Muhammad on Saturday. Gilbert, welcome back to the program. And, man, last time we talked to you, you were getting ready to retire your opponent. And that's exactly what you did with Jorge Masvidal. Congratulations on that. And welcome back. How you doing?
Thank you. Doing great. You know, another opportunity, you know, that fight in Miami went great. I beat George. But then I still on a mission, I still want to get this title and opportunity kind of show up. And I love opportunities, you know, especially when you're ready. Whenever you're ready and the opportunity shows up, what you do, you just take it. And that's exactly what I'm doing. And on May 6th, now I'm fighting Bilal Muhammad for a number one contender fight. Whoever wins this fight goes for a title shot. And I'm on a mission, you know, I'm on a mission to get this title and just got to go pass through. Bilal Muhammad, I don't think it's going to be easy. It's going to be a tough fight. But passing Bilal Muhammad, I'm taking that title.
Gilbert, this is so interesting because to me, and when you talk about boxing, okay, and we always like to compare boxing with UFC for a lot of reasons, you cannot have a fighter get through a war and 2 weeks later jump right back into the ring on another big show against another world-class fighter. It doesn't happen in boxing. They need at least months to prepare. You're doing this on basically 2 weeks. It's incredible. You took this fight. You went from 287 to 288, and this is even rare in UFC world. A lot of mixed martial artists don't do this and fight on back-to-back cards like you're doing here on Saturday.
Because I'm very hungry. I'm hungrier than all the boxers and all the MMA guys together, you know. So I want to get this title. And the great thing is we have the same commission. Boxing and MMA, they are one commission. So when the fight was over, every time the fight is over, we go back to whenever we go out of the curtains, out of the arena, we go into the doctors and the commission right there. And the doctors and commission, they work together. And they give me only 7 days suspension. So that means after 7 days, I can get another fight because they do all the tests. They see I didn't get enough damage. I did a, that was a pretty good win that I didn't hurt my body. And then And I was thinking to get a little time, you know, before the next one, especially because they had a title fight scheduled for July. So July 22nd in London, that was my target. I said, okay, July 22nd, Leon fights Kobe. I'll be the backup. 2 days after my fight, Leon gave an interview and he said his injury and he's just ready to come back in October. That's too much to wait, you know, especially in the division that Kamaru Usman just lost. We have Shavkadir, Shimaev, Bilal Muhammad. I was already, okay, I got to do another fight to guarantee this spot. And then going forward, a couple of days after my fight, Charles Oliveira, he was the previous co-main event for May 6th. He had injury and then he had to pull out. And I saw a spot soon and I saw Bilal Muhammad was interested. You know, he started tweeting out, like, challenge Kobe. I just did the same thing. I saw challenge Kobe and then UFC reached out. Hey, you ready to come back? He said, yes. They put the name Bilal Muhammad. That's how everything started. You know, so it's a great opportunity. The great thing is I just had a camp. I just had to, like, stay in shape. 2 more weeks, adjust on my new opponent, do 2 more rounds because now the 5 rounds is not 3 rounds. So I guess I'm hungrier than all these guys.
Timing is everything, right, Gilbert? It kind of feels like when it comes to this sport in particular, whether the matchup is for the title belt itself or just a matchup to put you yourself in contention, timing is everything. But does that come with frustration knowing that you kind of feel like you've put this resume together to earn this title fight?
So, whenever I'm frustrated with any situation and I want to rebel and I want to, like, I don't feel like, you know what I do? I just work super harder. You know, that's my goal, my frustration. Just like, man, okay, let me do more. Okay, this guy's not giving the respect. Okay, let me do a little bit more. And then I use that as a fuel, and that's exactly what I'm doing right now. So I think it was a big win against George Masvidal. Quick turnaround for my fight in Rio for April. That's going to be my third fight in 2023. A couple guys, they don't even fought. I'm lapping these guys. I'm showing how hungry I am. And I'm showing, like, all the availability to the UFC. I'm fighting this guy. Who else you have? I'm fighting. Who else? Give me another one. This guy, let's do it. So it's been pretty easy to the UFC negotiating with me because I'm fighting anyone at any time. And I'm just proving back to back that I'm the next for the title shot. And I don't want just a title shot. I want to win the title. That's what I've been working towards too. And beating Bilal Muhammad will be a great opportunity back to back camps. If I get a finish, even better, then I'll be able to get that title soon. So that's what I put all my frustration. Oh, they give it to that guy. Okay, they don't give me respect. Okay, let's beat everybody, and they cannot deny me.
Gilbert Burns with us here on Sports Talk as we get ready for his big fight with Bilal on Saturday. So you've been professional now for about 11 years. I love your story because people that don't know, your dad fixed cars and essentially made a trade with a customer and said, I'll fix your car if you train my boys for jiu-jitsu when they were little. You're one of those three kids, and you ended up winning the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Championship. Then you go pro, and here you are now all these years later. What a story, considering it's all in the family, and really, your dad is a big reason why you got into this in the first place.
Yes, my dad is a big reason. You know, we were super poor. We're not a victim. We just born like that. You know, we're very, very poor. And I got two brothers, three kids on my family. I had older and younger brother. And whenever we saw the opportunity that my dad literally trade the money that we needed that money to train. And then whenever we came back for these sessions, is a clear lesson that I still have today. He asked, hey, how did you guys like the jiu-jitsu training? And then we all super excited. We like it very much. It was cool. A lot of kids. And we learned this, and that. And say, okay, cool. But if you guys really like it, make sure you guys are one of the best, because it's only 3 months of scholarship. It's only free for 3 months. After that, I don't have money. You know, you guys are not going to do it. So make sure you are the best from now on. Otherwise, in 3 months, I might ask, hey, I don't have money. Can you guys keep it? If you guys are not good, then I'm going to keep it. So if you guys really like it, you got to go hard every single day. You got to be one of the best there. And then that was the drive that I had in jiu-jitsu. You know, I just want to be the best, and was competing after competition. In the, after 1 month, we all competed. 2 months, we competed again. 3 months, and then we started competing, fell in love with competition. And here I am, you know, for sure. Was my dad was a big impact on me and my brother's life. My younger brother, Herbert, he's on the UFC as well. And my older brother is a Navy SEAL in Brazil. So, wow. Yeah, I think he did a good job.
Gilbert, tell me a little bit more about your opponent on Saturday in Muhammad. Bilal is on a 4-fight win streak, 9-fight unbeaten run. Give us a little scouting report on him.
He's very good, you know, good everywhere. Guy's very, very durable, has a good gas tank, a lot of volume on the striking. Knows how to win his fight, you know, very smart, very, I give to him a high IQ, very, very tough. And I think the dangerous thing, the guy is as hungry as I am, you know, he's fighting for the title. And the way I see it, we're both in the race, you know, we're both racing to get this title. And whoever wins Saturday, I believe it will be me, will be getting a chance for the title. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough fight. Four-fight win streak. He had the no contest against Leon Edwards, the current champion. Fought tough competition on Wonderboy, Demi Maia, Vicente Luque, and Sean Brady. I think he's kind of picking on his career right now, you know, like getting on the top level. He passed me in the ranks. I was number four. Now he's number four. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a tough fight. I'm looking forward to. I think I'm going to win. That's literally what I think is going to happen. But I don't think it's going to be an easy fight. I think it's going to be bloody. I think it's going to be a war. Fans will be in for a threat. It's going to be a great fight.
Do you see this being something that could go the distance, or we have an opportunity to end it sooner? What do you think?
Let's see how much he wants, because I'm going to put a lot of pressure on this guy. I'm looking forward for a finish. I love finishes, and I'm the kind of guy that I can catch you in a submission or I can knock you out. That's the thing that I'm looking forward to do, but that's going to be on him. If he can take all the damage, yeah, we might go to a decision. To be honest with you, I think he can. He's not a quitter. He's a warrior, and it might be a 5-rounds war against Bilal Muhammad.
How about the Sterling Cejudo main event? Give me your thoughts on how that one's going to go.
Very good fight. Very good fight. Tough fight. I think Sterling is in a good momentum, a bigger man. I just think Cejudo is too smart, you know, too sleek. He trained so much and a lot of experience. And I think it's going to be intriguing. I think a close fight, but I believe Cejudo might take the win.
All right. Get the live coverage, folks. UFC 288, Sterling versus Cejudo from the Prudential Center in Newark this Saturday, May 6th on ESPN+, including the main card and the prelims. And Gilbert Burns excited about his return to the octagon as well against Bilal Muhammad. Hey, it has been terrific catching up with you. Want to thank you for the time and wish you nothing but the best Saturday. And can't wait till the next time we get to chat with you right back here on the show, Gilbert.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for having me. Make sure you tune in May 6th. Let's go.
Look forward to it. So there he is. Again, Gilbert Burns, a guy that looks so confident, so calm, and yet has been so good in the octagon.
Yeah, Steve, we had him on just a few weeks ago. He came in with the same confidence against Jorge Masvidal, even though that one was in Masvidal's backyard in Miami. He goes there, beats him, in a really, really standout fashion. Now he has this other matchup here against Muhammad for a chance to earn another right to get that title fight.
It's terrific. Can't wait for that one, folks. And we're going to have more UFC interviews on tomorrow's program as well. In fact, Lane Frank will be coming up in our 5 o'clock hour. We got KVIA news up next right here. Sports Talk continues, 600 ESPN El Paso. But anyway, today is May 4th. May the 4th.
Star Wars Day.
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you.
Thank you as very much. Appreciate that.
But never been a Star Wars guy.
Episode 122
dropped today. Great episode. Go tune in.
Schoolyard Sports number 122.
Had the spotlight being about the Milwaukee Bucks in before they hired fired Coach Budenholzer. I said they shouldn't fire him. I said be outrageous. They did. They ended up firing him. I talked about the NFL drafts, the moves I loved, the moves I hated, a few other things. Go tune in. Go watch it. All podcast platforms and YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
All right, let's talk about Budenholzer getting canned. We'll make that.
I think it's horrible.
First part of it. Now, you know, put this in perspective. I mean, they were the number one seed in the East. They lose in the first round of the playoffs.
But it's the Heat. That's their kryptonite. So,
yeah. So you don't blame.
You just won a championship 2 years ago.
I know. Isn't that crazy? And really,
in the circumstances he had to deal with during that series?
But you know
his
what?
Brother.
But you know about sports. You understand. It's all about what have you done for me lately. That's all anybody
ever
cares
about. What
have
you done for me lately?
About.
Championship.
2 years ago.
Still a championship.
Old news.
Do you think this move is led by Giannis Antetokounmpo?
No, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. Adrian's shaking his head yes. He
maybe.
Thinks he could be.
Hey, Giannis.
I think that's the only reason why he would get fired.
Guys,
he was led by Giannis.
When it comes to superstars, the clock's always ticking with these guys. They want to win. It's not about 2 years ago. They want to win now. Look at Nurse. Nurse was the one who got canned recently with Toronto, and he just won a title with that
team.
But
Nurse had no future. This team has been one of the best teams of regular season all along.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that is true. Better? Okay. So here's the thing. Here's the thing that I don't understand, okay? You win the title. You have the best record in the East. Yeah, you lose in the first round, but it just seems hard to get rid of a coach for that. If you think about it, here we go. He's the fourth coach in the past 50 years to lead his team to the best record in the NBA and not return the following season, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. Here are the other three, okay? You've got Mike Brown, who did in the he was with the Cavs in 2009, 2010.
Dwayne Casey?
No.
Really?
Phil Jackson, 97, 98 Bulls. Pat Riley, 89, 90 Lakers.
Two of those guys retired. Or no, Pat Riley didn't, but
Riley moved to the Knicks.
Yeah.
And Jackson,
so
I think Jackson, didn't Jackson go after that? He went right to the Lakers, didn't he?
I think it was more of a mutual decision.
Or did he take a year off?
But they won the championship, so it wasn't really a decision that was him getting fired for not winning in the playoffs.
But that was the last dance. That was when they all decided this was it. This was the last merry-go-round in Chicago. So, no, I get it. But here's the thing, too, though. You think about this, okay? Not only did the Bucks lose to the Heat, but twice they blew double-digit leads in key games that they needed to have. Game 4, Game 5.
Birth out your best player, Giannis Antetokounmpo. What do you expect? I think they still do need a little bit of a refresh, and that's what I talked about. Maybe you get a Damian Lillard. Maybe you get a Russell Westbrook type of player. Maybe you get a Jaylen Brown type of player. I didn't think they had the good enough supporting cast to win a championship with Giannis, especially without Giannis. So that was my take right there. And this Heat team is still super talented. I think if you play that Cavs team or the Hawks team round one, you might even win that series without Giannis.
Giannis was critical of Milwaukee's lack of adjustments to try to slow him down. And that was something that he mentioned publicly after the loss.
That could be young. I mean, this kind of seems like a rash decision, in my opinion. Because who are you going to hire? Because you don't have Darvin Ham on that bench anymore when you did last season. So I don't know.
I have no idea who they're going to hire. In fact, their current assistant, Charles Lee, is a finalist for the Pistons opening. So it'll probably be somebody from outside of the Budenholzer tree right now.
I mean,
now.
Darvin Ham was in that tree. Now he's great for the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true. All right. Well, anyway, that's big news. Big news today as we start off our 5 o'clock hour with you. Are you enjoying the NBA playoffs so far?
Oh, definitely enjoying the NBA playoffs, especially when my New York Knicks are in it. Go New York.
By the way, they're lucky to be tied at one right now because
I disagree.
They were very.
I think the Heat are lucky to be tied at one.
Really? You realize that? Well, first off, I watched in game one, the Knicks played terrible in the third quarter, and they could never get closer to three in the fourth.
True.
So, and then they almost beat him without Jimmy Butler, which is crazy to think about. It took a fourth quarter comeback to win that game.
Everyone keeps on saying, oh, without Jimmy Butler, they're nothing. Without Jimmy Butler, they're nothing. You don't get to the finals. You don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals like they did last year in finals in 2020 without being nothing. You have Bam Adebayo. You have Kyle Lowry. You have Max Strus. You still have good players on this team outside of Jimmy Butler. So I'm sick of that narrative.
I agree, but
because this Knicks team is good without Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. They're not going to win a playoff series, but they're going to win games. That's basically what they have for game one. No Julius Randle and a banged up Jalen Brunson.
That's true.
And they almost won.
Yeah. Meanwhile, when you look at the way this series is going to go in Miami, the Knicks have to split, don't they? They can't go down 3-1. They're not going to beat Miami three games in a row to come back and win that series.
It'll be interesting. I think this is a prime time type of series, and I think you wanted those games on Friday and Saturday in New York, which you don't get. Those games are going to be in Miami.
That's true. That is a good point.
That's kind of what stuck out in that Cleveland series. You had the primetime games, the weekend games in New York instead of in Cleveland.
Well, it's the NBA's fault for doing that.
Lane, are you surprised with RJ? He's been balling lately.
RJ has been playing very well. You know, I always thought that Donovan Mitchell would have been perfect for the Knicks, even if they trade RJ, which I still probably would do. I would still probably trade RJ Barrett for Donovan Mitchell. But I just think in late game situations, I don't know if we're going to see RJ being that big factor that he is in the first or second quarter, maybe.
I still think that Josh Hart's one of the X factors on this New York Knicks
fully.
Team. And when they got him, you know, he's not one of those guys that's going to drop 30 on you every night, but he does so many things. Exactly, that are big catalysts for winning games. So, Celtics, even their series with Philly last night, they destroyed them. Even though Joel Embiid comes back, he wasn't nearly the type of force we've seen him so far. And you wonder what his, you know, what his status will be heading into the weekend when they go back to Philly. But still, 1-1 in this series. Will Boston be able to get past Philadelphia, in your opinion?
I'm not so sure. After that game one victory by the Sixers, I was really impressed. I was really impressed with the way Tyrese Maxey has been playing in the playoffs. I think he's maybe been the best player outside of James Harden and Joel Embiid on this squad right now. And Joel Embiid, I think they were just trying to fume the ball a little too much last night. You know, he's still a little bit banged up. You see him missing shots that he doesn't normally miss, you know. MVP lingering in mind, all that I think was a little bit of a storm for them against Celtics last night, but they can get back in Philadelphia, and I expect them to do.
Oh, and that's going to be the big key with this one. You're right about that because, you know, you look at what happened 121-87. It was a domination in game number two. We all know the talent Boston has. We get that. But you can also look on the other at the other series and say that whoever gets out of that series could have a very, very good opportunity to beat either of these two teams and go to the NBA Finals.
It'll be interesting for sure.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the West. Tonight, they're going to resume things in the Bay Area in San Francisco. So the Warriors are hosting the Lakers at 7 o'clock on ESPN. Golden State down one game to none. Anthony Davis was amazing in game one.
I think this
was incredible, okay? And LeBron was not his best. And yet, if AD can come even close to the kind of performance he had in game one, dropping 30 and 23 on Golden State, there's a chance Los Angeles comes out a 2-0 lead heading back to L.A. this weekend.
I think AD is playing like that 25-year-old superstar that we once saw. I think that's his best. I think this is his best stretch we've seen from him since 2019, maybe 2020 bubble.
He's healthy.
It's true.
And that's a key. You look at this.
He's still a superstar.
Now, you look at the way this series matches up, okay? And in game one, you had nearly a Golden State win because Steph was, you know, hitting that big three to tie it late.
12-0 run.
Then Jordan Poole trying to tie the game for you in the final seconds and not Curry.
It's been a rough playoff for Michigan guys. You know, you got Jordan Poole sneaking the bed. You've got Duncan Robinson definitely shattering the glass for sure. But Jordan Poole, I think he'll get back on track. Kind of a guy that you think could burn out in the NBA because shots don't go. And kind of like NFL running backs, they can't run for you. What are they going to do? Jordan Poole not making his shots right now. Hopefully he can later on in the playoffs. But I've been a little bit disappointed with him so far.
But he had 5 threes prior to that miss. It was he could have gotten closer to try to get that basket.
I think the Warriors internally don't care so much about it because they trust Jordan Poole to take that shot. I think the fans are saying, oh, he's had such a bad playoffs. Let's forget everything he did tonight. Let's focus on that one bad hero shot they tried to make. If he makes it, he's the hero.
It's aside from Poole, who's the swing man? Who's the random guy on the Golden State Warriors and the Lakers who could maybe swing it on both sides? Like, if they go off the bench or whatever, this could change for either of these teams.
I know Austin Reeves, he's obviously been involved a lot. I think that's kind of the obvious answer for the Los Angeles Lakers. There can be some other guys in there. What do you think, Steve?
I like Schroeder a lot. We've talked about him on the
show. Schroeder, NBA veteran for sure.
Yeah, but he seems like he always has a big basket late when they need him, too, and he's great from the free throw line, too.
That makes sense. And then for Warriors, you know, they have their great infusion of youth with Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga. I think those are guys that could definitely help out late game stretches.
But I don't know if Golden State will ever want to rely on them.
Quarters when you can rely on those guys. When you're benching Steph, when you're benching Clay, when you're benching Draymond.
Yeah, and by the way, asking Draymond Green to try to slow down Anthony Davis just doesn't seem fair, does it?
It doesn't, and I think the one thing they're missing right now is maybe that James Wiseman, because Kevon Looney can do what he wants. He's a great center, but he's not going to do so great going up against LeBron James. So if you have a James Wiseman in there, that can help.
I know.
And you've got to trade him. So
meanwhile, if the Lakers win this series, the way Denver's playing right now, that could be very, very short against the Suns.
I'd love to see a Denver championship.
I was going
to
ask you, do you think anybody slows down the Nuggets the way they've looked so far?
I think it's easy to slow them down. I hope it doesn't happen because I think this is a perfect year for Denver to maybe even win a championship. Because last time we saw a player not win back-to-back-to-back MVPs three straight was Giannis. Now it's 2021. He had won back-to-back in 2020 and 2019, but he won his first championship in 2021. Jokic, 2022, 2021 MVP, maybe he wins his first championship this year.
Who do you like to watch more, Jokic or Murray? Because Murray's been so good in Denver.
I think the truth always has to be Jokic, but Murray's been an all-star every single season. He's played healthy in Denver since 2019, you could say.
Yeah, and what a great 1-2 punch it really is with those two. It's been incredible.
I mean, there's always rumors of splitting them up because Jamal Murray was hurt, but this works better than maybe any other different duo in the NBA, you could say. You see so many superstar duos not work out, say Paul Jordan or Kawhi Leonard. This one, you could say it's mediocre. It's still working out great.
Speaking of a superstar group that's not working out, the Suns right now have been decimated in terms of their depth. And without Chris Paul, it seems like it's an uphill battle. But for the future, Lane, it seems like they need a lot. They just don't have a lot of depth right now.
They don't have a lot of depth, and I think missing that is maybe missing your Cam Johnsons, missing your Mikal Bridges, even those little pieces in that Brooklyn trade. Even some of the, you could say, Chris Paul trade even a few years ago. You're losing Ty Jerome in that trade. He was great for the Thunder this year. Other guys you can think of. So, yeah, they're definitely lacking some depth right now. And then with KD, when he goes out in a game in the third quarter, you don't know how you're going to expect to rally.
Well, and we said it earlier that when you make a trade like that and you have KD and Chris Paul and Booker, if anything happens to any of those three because of their lack of depth, they're cooked. And that's the hardest part about it. You must have your nucleus, your stars healthy. That's the key to winning an NBA championship right now.
But you still have Devin Booker and Kevin Durant who have been MVP candidates in their past. Kevin Durant's won MVP. You shouldn't have to rely on just Chris Paul being healthy.
But can those two do it alone against a team like Denver?
I think so.
Okay.
What do you see outside of Denver, outside of Jokic or Murray? Michael Porter Jr.?
I mean,
that's
yep.
really the only other big name that can come to mind. So
it's true. Maybe just because
if you can shut down, if you can contain Jokic, and if you can maybe shut down Jamal Murray a little bit, because he can go cold from three. Yeah. It just depends. And then Booker can catch 50 a night.
It just seems like every playoffs we're always talking about Chris Paul getting hurt. Isn't that sad?
I think the best example of it was maybe that 2018 playoffs. They have a 3-2 lead on the Warriors. Chris Paul hurts his thumb, doesn't play for the rest of the series, and they lose.
That's true.
It's the Warriors.
All right. Look, 19 past. Charlie's coming up. We have trivia. We're going to give somebody a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to tonight's Chihuahuas game in honor of May the 4th and Star Wars Day. How about a little trivia question right now, Adrian?
All right. In the Return of the Jedi, who freed Princess Leia from her chains at Jabba's palace? All right, that's the trivia.
Do you have any idea, Lane?
Darth Vader?
No.
Good guess.
Wrong side. But it's okay. It's a good guess. 505-6009, our telephone number. More with Lane as Sports Talk continues. Plus a trivia answer right after Charlie One with this traffic update. And from the River Oaks Properties Schoolyard Sports Studios here at 600 ESPN El Paso. Lane Frank joins us every week. Episode 122 is dropping tonight, video and audio. All right, give me your take on this from Robert. We just talked about Zarek Onyema going to Texas. Here's what he said. I really understand the portal, but what happens, you know, when it comes to a player's and loyalty? Especially with Zarek and Rodney Terry, who sat on the bench and didn't play. Joe Golden gave him the opportunity to play and develop, and then the player says he wants to go pro is the excuse. You can go pro from any program. So what Robert wants to know is, whatever happened to loyalty? Meaning, Rodney Terry never played him, Joe Golden does. He goes back to Terry now that he's at Texas, and Rodney is trying to pitch the, you know what, I'm going to make up for what happened to you while you were at UTEP.
I think that's a little bit of a gut punch to Joe Golden, because Joe Golden gave Zarek an opportunity while Rodney had him right in the punt. How does he know that's not going to happen at Texas again?
Exactly, because there's going to be a much more stacked roster with the Longhorns than he had at UTEP.
And Rodney's losing recruits left and right at Texas. I mean, they get the 5-star decommitting last one, now they have Ron Holland decommitting.
Yeah, and you're replacing him with guys that are averaging 7 points a game at UTEP.
I'm hearing Ron Holland's either going to Arkansas or G League. No other option.
Really?
Yep.
Arkansas, huh? Well, that makes sense. I could see Mus getting in on that.
If I had to guess right now, I'd say G League, but look for Arkansas.
No way he follows his high school teammate, KJ Lewis, to Arizona?
I don't think so. I think Arkansas, really the only college option right now.
Okay. By the way, that's also interesting.
That's a good point, though.
You know, you wonder, how many of these five stars are just going to say they'd rather spend a year in the G League than have to go play college ball?
I think it's a horrible experience to go play in G League, though. Why do you want to play up against a 30-year-old type of pro in the G League when you could go up against the college players? You can go up against these fun schools. Yes, you get more hate if you lose to, say, a South Carolina horrible 7-1 team in the SEC.
Right.
But
well, maybe because these players have no interest whatsoever going to college. Now, let's put it this way. You're going to make a lot more money in NIL spending a year in college than you would going to the G League, because the G League doesn't pay anything.
Say you make $900,000 in the G League, because these contracts be more than just a regular G League contract.
Is that what the G League? Well,
G League Ignite is going to be more.
But would the G League pay an 18-year-old $900,000, or is that going to be way too rich?
I think Jalen Green got $500,000. I think Scoot Henderson got maybe over $1 million.
Wow.
But you can get more than that in NIL money.
Yeah, now
it's more fun
now you can.
To be in the college experience than just G League on the road every week staying in maybe horrible hotels. Doesn't seem fun.
Even if these players really think that for them college is not what they want, they want to start playing pro ball right out of high school.
I don't know, because do these guys really think they're ready for pro ball right out of high school? Maybe they all think they're invincible, but deep down, maybe not.
True enough. Meanwhile, let's talk a little baseball with you. Since
let's
we just it. Talked football, we'll jump to baseball right now. Bryce Harper, back. Coming up earlier than anybody has ever come back from Tommy John surgery, playing DH for the Phils.
It's a beast.
What does that do for them?
Gives a great boost to them. You know, they had a horrible start to the season. Now they have a great lineup of Trey Turner, JT Realmuto, Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper.
They do. Meanwhile, a lot of good teams playing like mediocre ball so far.
Mets.
Yankees, Mets. Dodgers have not been what we expected. Look at the teams that are in first place right now. Pittsburgh playing terrific baseball. The Orioles are off to a great start. The Diamondbacks are playing good. The Reds, I mean, it's been the Rangers. It's been a strange year so far in baseball, hasn't it?
For sure. I mean, I'm shocked by all this. So,
what surprises you the most so far?
I think the thing that surprised me the most so far probably be Tampa Bay Rays. I did not expect him to get off to this, give a head start. I thought that Randy Arozarena would slow down for the WBC. I really expected a big drop-off from Tampa Bay Rays, to be honest with you.
But they haven't. They have not
they have
dropped
not.
Off
been,
at all.
They've been amazing.
They've played terrific.
Mm-hmm.
The Pirates would probably be the biggest surprise. Nobody expected
Nobody.
Pittsburgh to be coming like
especially
out of the
with O'Neill
like
Cruz breaking his foot week one.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. Because if you ask most baseball fans to name you any Pittsburgh Pirates right now, they would struggle.
Let's name some right now.
All right, go ahead.
Let's go O'Neill Cruz.
Who's hurt?
Brian Reynolds.
That's their best player. Who just signed a big contract by the Pirates last season.
Let's go with Brad Keller.
Mitch Keller.
Mitch Keller, okay.
Brad Keller, I think, is with Kansas City.
Yeah, with Kansas City. Let's
okay,
go
so
with,
that's Mitch Keller,
of
right.
Of course, Ke'Bryan Hayes.
Ke'Bryan Hayes is another
Andrew
one.
Andrew McCutchen, of course.
That's right, coming back, the fountain of youth.
Kanaan Smith-Njigba. Brother of Jack Smith-Njigba.
That's
a little bit in that AAA MLB type of formula right now.
That's right.
Let's think of who's their catcher. Mitch, no.
Pittsburgh's catcher right now is Austin Hedges, who's playing for them at this
Austin
point.
Hedges was with the Guardians.
No, he left the Guardians. He's now with Pittsburgh.
Okay.
You also have Rodolfo.
It's an interesting team.
You've got Rodolfo Castro, who's playing second with them as well.
Infamously caught with his phone during the game.
Jack Sawinski, who's in the outfield right now for the Pirates. And, you know, you're looking at the way this team has been putting it together. It's been fun. You got guys like Rich Hill, who's 40 years old in the rotation right now for Pittsburgh.
I mean, he's playing better than the Mets 40-year-old pitcher, so I can say that for at least.
Justin Verlander came back, but
I knew this was going to happen.
It's going to take a little time.
You know why I knew this was going to happen? Because every single time at MLB show, it happens. They play for 1 year at MLB show, Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander, and then they're horrible and retire. I'm not comparing it to a video game in any way.
You are!
But it's logic, because Max Scherzer, he's old. He's not going to play great. Same with Justin Verlander. So
you're saying that if you had to advocate, you would advocate for going younger than going older. Although, they didn't sign Jake DeGrom. I thought that was a great decision, and he's already broken down
with Texas.
Jake DeGrom,
healthy, is going to be way better than Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer.
But he's never healthy. That's why you don't give him $160 million.
You can say, oh, maybe it's just one bad start for Verlander. Maybe it's just one bad start for Scherzer. Okay, Verlander had bad start in the World Series last year, and Scherzer gives up 7 home runs in a wild card game to the Padres. So
Verlander won the Cy Young last year.
It bothers me.
He won the Cy Young.
Didn't perform great in the playoffs. Justin Verlander, I mean, Max Scherzer definitely didn't. I saw that game. 8 runs. 4 home runs.
Should Met fans be worried right now?
Oh, definitely. I'm worried.
Okay.
I'm very concerned. The way the offense played today,
yeah.
The way the bullpen has been, there have been at least 5 games this year where if you have Edwin Diaz, you win these games because you have David Robinson coming in the 8th inning instead of the 9th inning. You're not playing a guy like Dennis Santana or Adam Ovino.
Okay.
Drew Smith. You're not playing those guys if Edwin Diaz is healthy.
Just you're not happy. I can see you're getting aggravated talking about the Mets right now.
Oh, I'm definitely aggravated talking about the Mets right now.
All right, so we'll get off that topic. When we
baseball
come back,
aggravates me.
Then we don't want to aggravate you too much. That's not the that's not the point here on the show. When we come back, though, we will wrap up the hour more with Lane. We'll get quick hits, and then we'll finish up and get ready for our 6 o'clock hour next. It's Sports Talk, 600 ESPN El Paso. Take you up till 6:30. That's when Tim Haggerty and Nurses Night all convene at once. On Star Wars night as well. There's so much going on. They've got this the Thrifty Thursday specials. What a great night to be at the ballpark tonight. Oklahoma City Dodgers and your El Paso Chihuahuas. Should be a lot of fun. Want to say hi to Jason Craig, who's in the house as well. Good to see Jason. My Spam Masubi brother, who is hanging out, getting ready to be producing the Chihuahuas game tonight. What's going on, my man?
What's going on, Cap? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself? You're like the most well-traveled individual I've ever seen. You've been all over. You've been all over the globe the last few weeks.
Yeah, I've been really busy, man. But I missed the station, so you know, pop in here and
appreciate
you
that.
Know, get my hands dirty again.
Hey, thank you for throwing us a bone and showing up tonight to produce a game. That's nice of you. I appreciate you doing that. That's good.
Know, I miss Tim. You know, I saw him in Sacramento when I went to one of the Sacramento game, and I miss him so much. So I felt like I should just come in here and assist him.
He should have put you on the air, and you guys could have worked the game together that day. I'm surprised that didn't happen.
That would have been great because it was so hot out there.
Tell everybody about when you flew back from Sacramento, about who people thought you were as you were getting ready to head back home.
Oh, my gosh. That was so insane. So I'm getting on the plane. It's late at night. By the way, I'm at the game. I'm yelling at them. I'm like, yo, just give me a ride home. You know, I'm yelling at the Chihuahuas. I'm going the same way. Just give me a ride home. So I'm on the plane, and then all the players are getting on, and then, you know, random people are just like, hey, good game, man. Good game, man. I'm like, what is going on? Why are people telling me good game? And I'm not realizing, like, oh, they think I'm Fernando Tatis. So when I land here, and when I land in El Paso, I'm going down the escalator. Oh, man, there's people outside clapping. I'm like, oh, I'm not him. I've been called Tatis. I've been called Aaron Jones just because I dyed my hair.
Like, tips.
Yeah, the blonde tips. So everybody thinks I'm something that I'm not.
That is incredible. So congratulations. You have now been, I'm just out of curiosity. So you said you've been mistaken for Aaron Jones. You've been mistaken for Fernando Tatis Jr. Who else have people thought that you were over the years?
When I was younger in Australia, I've been mistaken for Usher.
Okay.
And got in a free limo ride for it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nice. So they thought you were Usher. Good.
And I think that's it. I mean,
well,
I guess
pretty good. I mean,
I guess I've been mistaken just for somebody important just because I'm like in certain circles. So they just walk me into places. I'm like, okay, I'll just go.
Sounds to me like that's part of the fun of the job, right? You get the opportunity to and trust me, you're not dressing or trying to look like anybody in particular. It's just what happens.
That's just life. I just fall into, like, good situations. Like, literally, that's how I got here with you guys.
Maybe you have a recognizable face, and maybe that's just the thing. Like, some people say that there are certain people out there, when you just see them, you kind of do a double take. Not that you know them, but they just have a familiar face. So maybe that's the case with you, Jason.
Could be. That's a possibility. I like the way you think, Adrian. I like that that sleuth ability right there. Did you get a chance to at least talk to Tatis since you're on the same flight home?
No, I was in the front, and they were in the back. And then I also got a hookup with my friend from Southwest. So I got on, like, the, you know, pre-board thing. So I was like, ha-ha.
Now, wait a minute.
They had to wait.
So when you said you got a hookup from your friend from Southwest in Sacramento?
No, from here. So from here, My friend gave me the pre-board, and then it went on. He hooked me up for like my whole round trip.
Oh, that's really cool. So you got the pre-board for the whole time. That's nice. It helps to have friends at Southwest Airlines, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. If you have a friend that works at the airport and you know they're working that day, or just call them and like, hey, can you hook me up with a pre-board thing? They'll probably just hook you up.
Have you ever been able to get like free drinks on these flights from the flight attendants who think you're somebody famous?
I got free drinks when I was going to D.C. from these elderly women that were coming from here. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they had like drink tickets or something like that. And like, oh, you look like a nice young fellow sitting up here close to us. We'll give you a free drink ticket. I was like, okay.
That was nice. So it wasn't from the flight attendants. That was actually from people on the plane.
Yeah.
Okay. We need to travel with Jason.
I don't recommend it. I don't recommend
it.
Why? It's a disaster. I don't go to the plane sober, and I don't fly sober.
Is it because you don't like you just don't enjoy flying, so you have to be under the influence?
No, it's just the circumstances that I fall into.
Oh, okay. So you very, very rarely ever show up on a plane ride sober, huh?
Yeah, it's very rare.
Oh, you must have the time of your life then.
It's always a good time on the plane.
So we need to travel with Jason.
There you go. That's a good way to start to talk about it. I like that. But you get to the plane. Have you ever like shown up and you're boarding a flight and you realize because you're not sober, you're on the wrong plane or you're at the wrong gate or something along those lines?
The gate changes are in Dallas. Oh my gosh, that's like the worst to go through a gate change.
Yeah,
those are the worst. But I think I've only done that like once or twice. But no, I'm pretty prompt on being where I need to be on time or especially ahead of time.
What's your schedule like as far as your DJ job? You have a lot of shows you attend, a lot of gigs you work around the country. How busy are you going to be for the next few months?
I'm going to stick around. I thought I was going to be chilling like after my birthday, and that never really happened. So Cinco de Mayo tomorrow, I'm going to be playing with Johnny Cage. And then Sunday, I go to Albuquerque, DJ for Pitbull, and then I'm chilling.
Okay.
Hopefully.
So Pitbull Sunday, tomorrow Johnny Cage. Where will you guys be at for that one?
The District, right here on the West Side.
Oh, okay, very nice.
Yeah, we'll be there all day for the Cinco de Mayo party.
Good for you guys. And by the way, is it common to have like two DJs for big events?
I've been doing it for about a year and a half, putting two DJs on gigs that I'm a part of or that partner with me. But out here, not really. You know, it does cost a lot, you know, so most places wouldn't do that. But I think it's beneficial to have two DJs at a venue because you get two different vibes, two different energies, and it's not so stagnant. You know, the DJ won't get worn out, so his energy for 2 hours is like constant.
So you're telling me, and your styles are different.
Yeah.
So how do you determine who plays what? Because there's two of you. So is it like dueling DJs? What do you do?
Yeah, you're like, okay, I'm going to go. If I'm going first, you got to set the tone first, you know? You know, you set the tone first, and then you kind of get into it. And then the second guy is supposed to really, you know, knock it out of the park.
So it's almost like, I don't want to call it a battle, but in a way, it really is, because you guys are both battling to just make this the greatest party anybody's ever attended.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's interesting. All right. Well, listen, it's good to have you back. And happy that you're able to make it here for a game. I mean, no pressure, but you still have, you got to make sure we get Hags through the entire broadcast, and that'll be a lot of fun too. Because you have a Sports Center update or two, don't you, tonight?
I think so. And yeah. I see you guys are remodeled in here. What's going on behind you?
Oh, we have a new studio sponsor.
That's nice.
That is River Oaks Properties and Schoolyard Sports. We have a brand new banner. Matter of fact, Lane, who was here just before you arrived, that's his podcast. He dropped 122 tonight for Schoolyard Sports.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's very, very nice. I agree with you there. All right, Hags will be joining us here in just a little bit as we continue on Sports Talk. Meanwhile, Adrian, with news that Zerick Wanyama is now a Texas Longhorn, the Miners still have to fill his spot. And I wonder how long it'll take until they find somebody to fill Z's spot.
Yeah, it's a good question and a good point because I just don't like the idea of going small or going into a season where you're a little smaller at times at that forward position. I believe that you should have size at that spot, and I do believe that getting size at comes with a cost. And that's where you're talking NIL dollars and you're competing against other schools across the country. I think Zarek Onyema going to Texas is arguably just as good or even better of a move like Bryson Williams made to Texas Tech or Sule Boom made to Xavier, knowing the program and what the Longhorns really bring. I mean, they were one of the best teams, if not one of the top teams in the country this past year, made a great run all the way to the Sweet 16, fell to Miami in the Elite Eight, loved what they did all season long, and now Rodney Terry, upon that extension, upon him earning that job full time with the Longhorns as their head coach, he brings back somebody who's he's very familiar with in Zarek Onyema.
He does. And meanwhile, what about a couple of players from the women's team going to Texas Tech? First it was Jazion Jackson, now it's Alina Arike. So they both take the transfer portal and go to Lubbock and Texas Tech. That's a huge twofer for the Lady Texters.
Yeah, actually, just a real quick cleanup on Zarek Onyema. I just want to relay some news that I got from some of the sources who talked about this commitment really quick. The reason why Zarek Onyema chose Texas was quality education and the Longhorn Network. I'm talking about the extended network. The coaching staff is loaded, and that's another thing that was a big thing for him. They have family close in Houston and San Antonio, so that's a strong thing for Z. He has they feel kind of a loyalty to Rodney Terry. I'm talking about Zarek Onyema. Feels a little loyal to Rodney Terry and a very strong NIL. To wrap up with that Texas Tech move for Alina Rike, Jazion Jackson, it makes sense, Steve. And you know what? Texas Tech got to see them firsthand in the WNIT matchup when they faced the Miners, and they probably thought, that girl's an all-conference player, that girl's an all-conference player. Let's bring him on the team. Let's get him on the squad.
Yeah, well, listen, that is a good move for Texas Tech. And the truth is, hey, it's a smart move for Jazion Jackson and Alina Arike because they're going to the Big 12. They're going to play Power 5 basketball. They're both clearly at the level where they can contribute over there. And you know what? I always say, listen, if UTEP has a player that can go Power 5, absolutely. All power to them, whether it's men's basketball, women's basketball, or football. Why not?
Yeah, now we're seeing this more consistently. It really started off with Jacob Cowan going off to Arizona as the top player on that UTEP football team, heading over to Arizona as a transfer. He had personal reasons, which was maybe a little different than other guys' decisions, maybe in men's basketball or UTEP football. Now we're seeing it on the women's basketball side of things. It's the two top players from this past year going off and transitioning to the Power 5 level.
One other UTEP news I want to get back to, and that is we touched on it last hour with Lane, but Jadrian Taylor signing with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers of the CFL. Really, really happy for JT because he deserves an opportunity to play someplace. And you want to know something? We've seen some other UTEP players like Alvin Jones make it in the CFL. I definitely think Jadrian Taylor is somebody that can have a nice professional career. And I just hope he understands that going from one climate to another is as drastic a switch as humanly possible going from El Paso, Texas to Winnipeg, Canada.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to definitely have to take some pointers from the other UTEP players who left El Paso and left over to Canada. You mentioned Alvin Jones Jr. Kyle Loxley is, a standout player right now in the Canadian Football League. In fact, he plays that two quarterback position. They have always two quarterbacks whenever they step onto the field in Canadian Football League. Nick Usher was another guy who had I don't know if he's still in the Canadian Football League right now, but all the way up into pretty recently, he was playing consistently in the CFL.
Here's the good news. The average temperatures, I'm just talking about highs, the average highs, for the next like 7 months, 6 months is great. So he's going to go to Winnipeg, 64 degrees in May, averages 74 in June, 80 in July, 78 in August, 68 in September, and then 52 in October. But here's my favorite, November to February. Here we go. 34 is the average in November. 18 is the average in December. 14 degrees is the average in January. 17 degrees is the average high in February.
Brutal, Steve. Thank goodness they're starting the preseason in 3 weeks.
I'm happy for them. But if I'm not mistaken, don't they play the Grey Cup like in January?
I don't know. I can't tell you if that's the case or not.
So that means he could have at least a couple of months.
Last year, it was November 19th.
Oh, he's lucky. The Grey Cup was in November?
This year, it's in November as well.
Oh, he gets spared. Well, maybe he can come back here for December through March, and he'll be okay.
Hey, he might have a chance to play at this high level. Winnipeg was in the championship last year against Toronto.
Oh, let me tell you something. And I think he's going to have a terrific opportunity there with the Blue Bombers. So I'm super happy for J-Dream Taylor. Good for him. All right, 18 past. When we return, Hags and our final countdown. It's all coming up right here, 600 ESPN El Paso.